Do you find listening to your friends' stories into motherhood uplifting and empowering? Brought to life by maternal health company AMA & Co., AMA Need a Minute provides mothers the space and the minute to share their real and raw experiences as well as their learnings. So pour yourself a glass of wine or tea, throw in that fifth load of laundry for the week that will sit in the dryer, and join in to celebrate, commiserate, and build a new kind of community. Hi, and welcome back to AMA Need a Minute. I'm your host, Margaret, and I have a returning special guest here today, our founder and CEO, Esther.
Woo!
Yay!
So happy to be here. Hi, everyone.
Given that we're going into the new year, what better way to start 2023 than by bringing you back on to talk about learnings of last year and the big plans we have for next? So before we start, I'd like to take a little trip down memory lane. I'd like to share with everyone how we first started partnering together on this podcast. And I think it was like the word you used was serendipitous, because we kind of just crossed paths quickly in one company. And then I somehow saw your LinkedIn post about this organization and I knew I wanted to get involved. So from that standpoint, I feel like when I initially reached out, it was more from a consumer research perspective. I was like, I'm happy to be a focus group, but it kind of evolved in our conversation. And I'm wondering, for you, putting you on the spot, at what point did you decide that you wanted a podcast host and you wanted me to be that podcast host?
It's definitely a trip down the memory lane. And I'm kind of laughing about it thinking now, because how crazy that we crossed paths for. Was it just like 1 month at L'Oreal?
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were working on API Heritage Month together. I remember every time we interacted, we had such a great conversation and there was a lot of vibing going on. So after I'd left L'Oreal to go to HBS, I started working on the business. And one of the first things that I thought about is, how do we bring a community together? Because one of the main visions that I had from early on was I wanted real stories of real mothers to get out there, so that we could show people, A, you don't have to be a mom to empathize with the challenges that moms face, but also for the moms to realize that they're not alone in the challenges that they face in postpartum. Because the one thing that I kept coming back to was, everyone talks about pregnancy and the birth, but no one really talks about what happens after. And the lack of awareness of what happens in postpartum exacerbates the challenges that you face. So the podcast seemed perfect. I felt like I probably wouldn't be the right person to do it. I had so many other things going on, but also I wanted an authentic mom to come in and to be able to relate to the moms who would come on as guests and be able to draw out real stories from them. So when Margaret, you reached out to me, having known you from before, but also having had this idea for the podcast, I knew that you'd be the right person. So going into the first meeting, I don't think I ever told you this, but I knew that I wanted to recruit you. So that was on my mind. But as we were talking about the project and I was updating you on what was happening with AMA & Co. and the plans that we had for the future, it just clicking between us. I think you knew that this was something that you might want to do, although you weren't convinced just yet. And I felt even more sure that you would be the perfect host. So I remember ending that call thinking, Margaret, I think you should do this. I think you're the host that we need. You hung up saying, okay, I'm going to think about it. There's a lot going on at work, but I'll let you know. I think it was just within a couple hours or maybe like within a day, you got back to me and said, all right, let's do it. So since then, it's been 100 miles per hour, but I'm so happy with where we ended up, because you and I talk about this basically every day. For the people who are listening, we talk about this all the time. We text about it. We're always brainstorming ideas on who we should recruit and what kind of topics we should cover. So it's been amazing to be on this journey with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for that recap. From my perspective, I totally agree. I think it only took me like a day to decide. And it really was just me like mulling it over in terms of workload and stuff. And then I was like, you know what, though? If I didn't do it, it would just bother me for the rest of the year. So thanks for bringing me on, because I feel like I'm really enjoying the process. Like, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but I am authentically enjoying talking to these moms. Some of them are strangers, some of them are friends of friends, right? And I'm just really always moved by the kind of camaraderie that is coming out naturally when you talk from mom to mom, even with different backgrounds, different experiences. just having that connection for whatever reason makes it very easy for me to have chemistry with these people. So I really enjoyed all of my episodes. Moms, if you're listening, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciated our conversation. I felt like I took something from everyone. I'm all about feedback and reviews, right? That's my like type A personality. So has this podcast gone in the direction you expected?
So first of all, I think I always tell you this, but I feel like you're always so tough on yourself. So I'm like always here to say you are doing such an amazing job. I would say it actually has been like half and half. And the reason why I say that is because when we started crafting out the vision for this podcast together, in the very beginning stages, I think we talked about just focusing on, okay, tell us about your birth story and then tell us about what your postpartum challenges were. And then as we started to speak to more moms and learned from their stories, we realized that there was a lot more opportunity for us to open up room for more authentic conversation rather than just sticking to a script. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I think it's captured the job of let's raise awareness around postpartum and let's share stories of real moms. But it's also evolved in that it's so much more than how I originally envisioned it. And I think it's a testament to how much work we put into this, how much work you put into this, into just making this into an amazing platform where moms feel safe and heard and supported. And the people who listen to it also feel safe and heard and supported. So yeah, yes and no. I think it's definitely a lot more rich than how we first planned it to be.
Yeah. And it really came out of my conversations with moms because they would say things like, you know, I wish someone told me, or like, I didn't know breastfeeding was going to be so hard, or I didn't know it'd be so hard to get pregnant, right? And so just them sharing what gaps they had in their journey helped me figure out, okay, maybe we should do episodes on fertility, right? Maybe we should talk about what you should expect in your first, second, and third trimester. And so some of the content you guys are going to see in 2023 is going to shift that way so that we can support our expecting moms, so that less and less moms will come out saying, I wish someone told me. That's kind of like my perspective, that I don't want anyone to feel like surprised by anything postpartum except for how much they love their baby. Like that should be the only thing that they're surprised by. And that's not true. That's good. A lot of surprises, but you know, I don't want anyone to ever feel like, you know, no one told me this, or, you know, there's this huge community of mothers. How come no one mentioned this when I was pregnant? You know, I'd never want someone to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. How come no one prepared me for this? Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And speaking of feedback, one thing that I do want to mention to our listeners is how much Margaret and I look at the number of plays per episode and what kind of episodes are popping. And by the way, a big shout out to our Facebook community of moms who feed us with relevant topics and things that they want to learn more about. But we do a lot of work in not just coming up with the ideas, but also sourcing the right moms and tapping into the wealth of the community that we have here that we've begun to build, to make sure that all of the topics that we cover are relevant and are things that moms would want to have answers for. So your feedback is really important to us. Please reach out to us and let us know if there's anything else you'd like to hear about, because we're totally open to covering any type of topic that you think is deserving.
I want to talk a little bit more about things outside of this podcast. Yeah. I want to talk about all the things that have been going on with Amma & Co. at large. So if you want to share, what are some of like your biggest accomplishments or the team's biggest accomplishments or things that you want to highlight about how the journey has been last year?
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy because we were just talking about when we started working together, and Margaret was one of the very first people to join the team. I think at the time it was just you, me, and I think Maggie, right? By the way, Maggie's our content lead. It was just the three of us. We were a small but mighty team. Mm-hmm. Now we have about 8 people working on this project. So it's been an incredible blessing because we're in no way just taking anyone who wants to work on this vision, but it's definitely informed the way that we've built out the team and built out our culture. So many of the team members have been introduced to us by Margaret, but also people who reached out to me personally because they saw what we were building and they felt personally compelled to contribute. Mm-hmm. So everyone is kind of volunteering right now. Everyone is working for free, really building this vision from the ground up. And we're super lucky to have built an amazing budding authority in maternal health. So to date, we have more than 3,000 people who are accessing our content. And that's across our podcasts, also on our website where we host our long form articles, but also short form social media content on our Instagram. It's been amazing to see the traction that we've built. Most of it has been completely through word of mouth and very organic. So people will learn from our Instagram stories or will learn about it from hashtags and then they will share it with their friends. So that's been really amazing to see. But the one thing that's been consistent from the beginning is we've been very focused on our mission to deliver on comprehensive postpartum care. What that means is we've always wanted to bring over the Korean traditional model of postpartum care, which is this postnatal retreat that moms go to after giving birth and checking out of the hospital. And in that retreat, you would be surrounded by expert 24/7 comprehensive care. So this care would come to help you manage your recovery, but also help you figure out how to care for your newborn so that by the time you leave the retreat, you're leaving with a lot more confidence and skill, and you are set up with the right support to be able to start off your journey with a lot more confidence and with a lot more strength. That model was always our vision from the beginning. COVID had different plans for us and we had to do the online launch first. But what we're really excited to announce is we've been working really hard at this and we are going to launch our first pilot of the postnatal retreat in New York in the spring. So that's spring of 2023. So as the listeners of this podcast, you are the first ones to hear this news. And we're just so grateful that we're able to share this during this time. So follow us on social, sign up to be on our wait list to be the first ones to know all the details. But we have a lot of exciting things coming for 2023.
Amazing. That's like top secret information.
Yes, it is.
I'm super excited about it. I mean, I know this was the vision all along, but it's funny because when I signed on back in May, just kind of like a thing in the sky. And now it's like, oh, wow, like this is actually happening. We need to start ordering supplies today. So even just thinking about that is very surreal.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I would love to hear from you as a founder. What have you learned about yourself in this journey?
Yeah, it's been such a crazy journey. And I feel like, you know, the whole story because we talk every day. But I heard from another podcast from How I Built This, and I believe it was Bonobos. Mm-hmm. The founder of Bonobos mentioned a startup doesn't die when it runs out of money. It dies when the founder gives up. And I hope I'm quoting him accurately, but since hearing that, it's really resonated with me and it's given me strength and resilience because this journey is so hard, especially as a solo female woman of color founder. Mm-hmm. It's really tough to get up every day and believe that we're going to make it through because the environment is really hard right now. The fundraising environment has been really tough. Some people don't understand the value of the service because it's just something that they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. It's also not tech. Tech is the type of business that gets funded very easily these days, but we don't have a tech component mm-hmm. because we're hospitality and healthcare and we involve high touch personal interactions. So in a way, it's been really hard to continue to push for this initiative, mm-hmm. for this vision that I know we can crack. But at the end of the day, what I realize is I believe in this vision and this vision and not me. I don't believe it's me, but I believe it's the vision that's attracted our entire team. It's inspired our entire team to come together and work on building this house from the ground up. So I feel really grateful for our team. I feel really inspired by our team because mm-hmm. our team is truly a powerhouse of women. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's some badass people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been amazing the amount of momentum we've been able to generate because we trust each other and we are so committed to making this happen of making, you know, moving mountains together because we believe that we can make a true difference in our corner of the universe. So in a way, it's been such an eye-opening year and I've realized that I'm a lot more resilient than I originally thought I would be. But that's because I believe in the vision and I feel really, really supported by our incredible team.
Yeah. And the part that resonates with me is also whenever I reached out to people about being on the show, they see the vision too. And they're like, why not? Like, how can I say no mm-hmm. to being part of this? You know, even yeah. if they can't be part of the team, it's like, well, I would love to help in any way. And that's honestly the response I get almost all the time.
Exactly.
I would love to help in any way. So you shared a lot of great news for 2023 on the AMA and Co side, but I'd love to hear on the non-AMA and Co side of your life, what's going to happen next year.
Sounds good. So the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, I just got engaged this past year.
Lovely. I knew. I've been knowing, but our listeners have not. So everyone can send her a congratulatory message on IG.
That would be very welcome. So that actually just happened a couple of months ago in August. And the AMA and Co team were the first people to know, other than my family and friends, of course. So we had like a moment to celebrate. And it's funny because do you remember when we were having the team meeting and then I broke the news. I was like, I think he's going to propose. And we were just like, he's definitely going to propose. And he ended up proposing that day. So that was really fun. But being engaged also means getting ready for a wedding, which, by the way, we haven't done any wedding planning. So that's probably going to be a big priority item on my list because I need to really start planning.
Are you trying to do it for next year or for 24?
At this rate, it's looking like 2024. Yeah, to be honest with
you. It's a long-term plan.
Yeah, it's a long-term plan. And it's so funny that you mentioned that because every time someone notices the ring on my finger, they're like, oh, you're engaged. When did that happen? When is the wedding? And then we keep saying, oh, we just got engaged a couple months ago. And then Alex, my fiance and I keep saying that one of these days, someone's going to ask and we're going to be like, oh yeah, we got engaged 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We still haven't planned the wedding. So that's a big item on my personal list. And other than that, I think my other goal in 2023 is just to focus on my own health as well. Mm. So one thing that I've noticed, and this is a common theme for many moms, I'm not a mother, but I think it's something that I've noticed a lot in speaking with more than 100 moms, is they tend to be so focused on caring for others that they forget to care for themselves. Mm-hmm. And hearing that story also reminded me of the fact that I'm often pouring out my cup because I have a lot of things that I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And then in that process, I forget to check in on myself to make sure that I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a big priority also in 2023. And I've kind of started making progress towards that, setting myself up with a therapist, which, by the way, I think everyone could benefit from therapy, regardless of where you are in life. And also taking all my vitamins and doing yoga, going to my doctor's appointments that I used to cancel and skip all the time just because work was so busy.
Yeah.
Going to a chiropractor to fix my back problems. Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of initiatives.
That's really good. And that's so important, you know, because I was the same way. I know in like college and like MBA, I would just like run my body down and be like, whatever, I'll just power through. But if you think about it, you only have one body, right? You only have, this is what you were given. And even when you get older and you're like, oh, I'm going to take care of myself now because I'm 40. I'm going to take care of myself now because I'm 50. It's actually not the stuff you're doing when you're 40 and 50. It's the stuff you were doing when you were in 20 and 30 that is going to set your body up for the future. It might not seem like it's causing any detrimental pain or any injury to you now, but what you do in your 20s and 30s could impact your later years.
Definitely.
And I sound like such an old mother woman right now, but I do think it's true.
It's so valid. And I realize now that health is extremely hard to recover when it's already on the decline. You should really make it a goal to maintain your health when you still have it. So now heading further into my 30s, I feel like this is the time. Otherwise, I'm really going to regret it. So
Esther just turned 30 and now she's like heading into my 30s. Like,
It's true. I mean, next year I'm going to be 31. And I feel like we've talked about this so many times, but the older I get, the more I realize how important health is. And I think it's even more valuable than money. It's even more more valuable than success or fame or all the other great things that society deems to be extremely valuable. But I think you could have all those things and not have your health.
Mm-hmm.
And then you won't be able to enjoy any of the things that you sacrificed your health for. So yeah, now I sound like an old lady. I know I'm just 30, but at the same time, that's been like a big realization this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you. And then also taking the time for yourself for self-care, because mm-hmm. I also had an issue with that where I didn't view taking care of myself as something that was important. And I also felt guilty mm-hmm. taking care of myself, because taking care of myself meant taking time away from helping my kids or doing something around the house. And so like,
yeah.
I just never gave myself permission to like go get a facial, get a massage, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever told me not to. I think just for whatever reason, I just felt like I couldn't
mm-hmm.
until my husband was like kind of forcing me to. And then I was like, okay, I guess I'll do it. And now I'm like, oh, everything was fine while I was gone for 2 hours. You know, nothing happened. Like, you know, so now it's shifting your mindset of like, okay, nothing's going to happen when you're gone for 2 hours. Everyone can be taken care of and fed and whatever they need to do. And also it just gives them an opportunity to take some of your burden, right? Mm-hmm. Gives them an opportunity to feel confident in taking your burden, because sometimes men are not confident about taking care of kids. And when you force them into that situation, they will figure it out and then they gain confidence, right? And mm-hmm. so they can do it more and more. So just a little marriage hack for everyone out there with, with the husband who's like, I don't know how to do X, Y, Z. Just kind of force them in a safe environment.
Try it and true method. Okay.
Yeah. And then yeah. they'll just pick it up and feel better about it. So yeah, that was big for me too, in terms of the self-care piece.
That's great. Yeah. You can't pour from an empty cup. So that's something that we should definitely remind ourselves every day of. And speaking of which, that reminds me of a quote that I came across a long time ago, and that stuck with me for a long time, but particularly for this year. It's a quote that says, talk to yourself the way that you would talk to someone you love. And I think that's extremely important, because as women, I think we talk down to ourselves and we're really, really hard on ourselves with, you know, whatever we do, whether it's a job that we do in our workplace or our role within a family. For me, I was really tough on myself for the founder and CEO role of Ama & Co, but also whether I was being a good student or if I was being a good daughter to mm-hmm. my parents, being a good sister, being a good girlfriend. But mm-hmm. being really kind to yourself and extending the same empathy that you would to someone that you love is incredibly important. And I think mm-hmm. what we just talked about, you know, self-care is reflective yeah. of that. Not only should you talk to yourself the way that you would talk to someone you love, but you should also treat yourself the way that you would want someone you love to treat themselves, or the way that you would treat them.
Yeah.
So that's been something that really inspired me in 2022.
Good. That quote is that you're your hardest critic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I just had my year-end review. So it's funny because I always walk in and I'm like, I feel like I've done nothing. And it's like kind of funny because you might feel like you're doing nothing, but then you always have to think about, all right, let me think about the version of me from mm-hmm. last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do that, you're like, actually, I did a lot, but you don't always think about it. When you're in motion and when things are not going your way in the moment, you don't think about, okay, like last year me looking at this year me would be like, wow, you actually did do a lot of things, right? So like mm-hmm. Esther, last year we were not even talking, and then you had not even launched Ama & Co yet. You launched mm-hmm. in May. So yeah. last year you was doing what at this time? In HBS?
Yeah, last year during this time, I was just starting to get the idea out there to see who would be interested in helping me launch the business. So mm-hmm. within the span of 1 year, we were able to get a team together of three. And then between end of May, which is when we launched online, to now, by the way, when we're recording this, it's like end of December. So within, 7 months, we've been able to very quickly turn around and build something that we're all proud of. So that's incredible. And I have to remind myself to pat myself on the back for this. And also,
exactly.
Yeah, it's hard because as the founder, I think I'm really prone to saying amazing job, Margaret, or amazing job, Maggie, you know, Isabel, everyone who's on the team. But there's really no way for me to do that for myself. Mm-hmm. So I have to make it into like a constant reminder to be kind to myself and just remember that I've been able to accomplish a lot in a short time with the support of the team. Really, it's the team that's forcing me and really encouraging me to exercise that muscle, because I want to be the best leader for this team, because you guys are my inspiration. And I really mean it when I say I am so excited to do this work, although it's literally round the clock work and we don't get that much sleep, because I know how much our team is committed to this and it makes me want to do an even better job every day. So yeah, thank you guys.
So what do you hope for yourself in 2023?
My first thought always goes to, what do we have planned for Ama & Co? So I'll actually start with that. I think in 2023, after a successful launch of our pilot, we're going to immediately dive into how we're going to make this luxury service accessible to as many moms as possible. My goal has always been to make sure that comprehensive, high-quality postpartum care is available to every mom, particularly to moms of color, lower income women who have a significantly higher risk of maternal death. Mm. And also infant death rate is much higher for their infants as well. So that's always been the goal. And I think the way to start with luxury is a good one, because we want to make sure that we are starting with the moms who would be most receptive to the service and we can immediately start making a difference there. But the goal has always been, okay, well, how do we make this available to everyone? So one of the things that we're hoping to do immediately is work with additional groups other than mothers and families to be able to make the service a little bit more affordable. So we're going to work with insurance companies and we're going to work with hospitals and employers to make sure that this service is approachable to many people. And eventually, I would love for us to start a nonprofit through which we can provide postpartum care services to every mom. But that's a longer term vision, because I know it will definitely take time for us to thoughtfully do it. So that's kind of on the Ama & Co side. Personally, I don't know. I think this is a really hard one, but we've talked about a couple personal New Year's resolutions before. So being able to not only start acting on those, but also keep to them and really making sure that I have time, that I carve out the time every day to continue to like uphold those commitments, would probably be the biggest thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you?
I have a lot of things on my list for next year. And part of it is like I did some reflecting after my birthday this year, because I felt like I was not making ground in one side of my life. And then I thought about it and I was like, well, who is to say that is the one measurement of what success is, right? And so I started thinking about the other parts of my life that I wanted to move on. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff and I don't want to bore the listeners with it, but
just give us a preview, just a little bit.
I have funny things. I want to learn stick shifts. Like that's like something that I am really struggling with and I need to learn, because one of our two cars is a stick shift and it's very difficult to not be able to drive one of the two cars you have. You know, and then other things are like, I want to savor motherhood, right? Like, I feel like I am moving so quickly. I'm doing Ama & Co stuff. I'm working full time, right? I have all these commitments. And people say, you know, the saying is the days are slow, but the years are fast. And I see it already. Harry's going to be 4 years old in like 3 weeks, which is crazy to me. And I think they're so fun and they're so different. And I want to just like savor it, because I feel like there's nothing that can capture it. Even if you were to take a video, it's just not the same, right? So trying to savor motherhood is another one. And then having like active relationships or intentional relationships, just keeping close to the people who I want to have a long-term relationship with, including my husband, and just like being intentional about the conversations we have, the time we have together, right? Those are like kind of like the top three, I guess, slash maintain healthy lifestyle, which I feel like I've done a good job this year-ish. But yeah, I have a bunch. I mean, that's my hope, is just that I'm going to continue to find balance, whatever that means, and that I'm going to take a page and look back to last year, Margaret, and always think about like, am I a little better today than I was back then, right? And that's like the whole thing, right? Are you making strides going forward? Are you bringing people along with you? You know, and when you go to sleep at night, like if you can think about it that way and just know that you feel like you're doing something and you're doing something bigger than yourself, then that's fine. Everything else is not so important.
Yeah, I love that so much. I think you and I are both very reflective people, or we're people who value self-reflection. So that's been really great. But one thing that I've learned is too much self-reflection also breeds a lot of toxicity, because then you start kind of nitpicking at all the things that you could have done better. So it definitely has to be done in moderation as well. But I love that.
Yeah, definitely. So to just end this show and our time together on this episode, do you have a message for our moms listening today?
I think the main thing that I would love for all moms to hear is that no matter what you're going through right now, please know that you're not alone. Help is available to those who seek it. And I think that's a Harry Potter quote that I just quoted. I think it's like, help will always come to those who seek it at Hogwarts or something like that. But, you know, I've talked to so many moms, and I still continue to talk to moms every day, just given the nature of this business. Some moms reach out to me because they know what I'm building and they get so excited and they want to share their experience. And every single mom that I've talked to feels as if she's a bad mom in some way because she hasn't cracked this one thing, or because she is taking too much time to rest or do something for herself. And one thing that I want to share as the outsider looking in is, from this point of view, you are doing everything right. You're making it look so easy. And I just hope you know that whenever you have those moments where you feel extremely vulnerable, there is a whole community out here with Ama and Co. who's willing to just jump in and help in any way we can. This is the exact reason why we were founded. So I hope you don't feel alone. I hope you feel comfortable and safe enough to reach out to us. And that I hope you find comfort and peace in the content that we generate for you, because we're literally doing this for you guys. So that's the message that I would want to end this episode with.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you are looking for more information and resources, please join our sign-up list on our website at www.amaandco.com, or follow us on Instagram at amaandco. See you next time.